You want to talk soccer? Talking non-stop soccer talk. This is the show for you. This is TFC Pitchside on Sportsnet.
This week was a little strange, just, you know, between Jay and Jordan being gone and Seba's week being broken up. There was an extra day of training, which, you know, sometimes for us, we don't love to go 5 days straight and then play a game, and it tends to wear on the guys. So we took a break in the middle of the week. So it's been a little bit of an awkward week, just with guys in and out and the break yesterday.
Match preview versus Columbus Crew.
Yeah, you heard the man. It is TFC Pitch Side Match Preview. I'm Dan Riccio. The finale of the Trillium Cup. Look, I don't know why the MLS All-Star Game exists. Quite frankly, I don't know why any All-Star Game exists in the North American sports. So there's that. But I'm also, like, struggling to figure out why the Trillium Cup still exists. I kind of understood it at the beginning. Couple of mayors trying to stir up some interest in their new sports teams, or at least for TFC. And we know David Miller is a massive TFC fan. But, like, the players don't care about it. The coaches don't care about it. I'm pretty sure, like, you guys, the fans, don't care about it so much anymore. I don't think I saw one. I know it was a midweek game. I actually did see two TFC jerseys in Columbus while we were there. Guy and a girl, couple. Maybe a little trip to Columbus, you know. Could be a lot of fun. We had a lot of fun. But, And I don't know if Terry Dunfield was just trying to stir up some controversy, but back when TFC was in Columbus, he did tweet this. Would not bother me one bit if someone lobbed that cup in Lake Ontario. This rivalry is too manufactured. And then he hashtags 401 Derby as that's kind of a rivalry that actually means something to TFC and its fans and all that good stuff. Just saying, that's a former TFC player, and he's actually a guy who works with TFC right now, and he's not shy about saying that the cup's a big crock. But it is what it is, and TFC do have a chance to win a trophy this weekend. Dan Riccio, TFC Pitch Side Match Preview. We are going to get a whole lot of stuff into this show. We have a one-on-one with Marky Delgado. We have Alex Steck joining us to talk about the Columbus Crew, who did make a trade today. So we'll get to all of that different stuff. And we'll also do our three keys to the game, as we always do. Winner will take home the Trillium Cup. The Reds coming out of a big win over DC United, 4-1. Sebastian Giovinco, hat trick with two free kick goals in the third in the last seven matches. Third win in the last seven matches for the Reds. The club is also looking to continue their home undefeated streak of six matches in league play, though. There he is. Was he at the Joe Carter thing this year? Who knows?
Snoop said no.
Yeah, Snoop didn't want Seba there. Dan Riccio, this is TFC Pitchside. And as for the Crew, their MLS Cup runners-up hangover kind of continued last week. They coughed up a two-goal lead against Orlando, their third successive match where they gave up a lead on home turf, finishing their three-game homestand with three draws. That run, of course, started when Jordan Hamilton leveled things up in the 64th minute at one at Montfrey Stadium, earning TFC a hard-earned point without Sebastian Giovinco in the lineup on July 14th. The Crew, though, did conclude the three-game homestand with three draws, and I guess that is 3 points, now five consecutive draws at home, one away from tying the MLS record of six in a row held by the worst named team in MLS, the Chicago Fire. That's a bold statement, Cotton. Yeah, I know.
How can you tell if someone is polite when you first meet them?
TFC's overall record against the Columbus Crew, 5 wins, 12 losses, 10 draws. And at home against Columbus, 2 wins, 4 losses, 6 draws. And, of course, they once allowed a Columbus Crew keeper to score on them. So, ish happens. Injuries, let's get to those. And there is one that is new, and it's not very promising for TFC if this player can or will not be in the lineup. Game time decision for Benoit Cheyrouz. He was not at practice Friday when I was there. I was kind of told it was a bit of a maintenance day. Now today he was still not at practice. Greg Vanney's saying he has a lower body injury. So that's kind of interesting. Out of the lineup is Michael Bradley still, though Greg Vanney believes that there's an outside chance Bradley could return next Saturday against the New England Revolution. Clint Irwin, Will Johnson, Daniel Lovitz, Ashton Morgan, all still out with injury. Did see Lovitz and Clément Simonin doing some drills on the side on their own. Simonin also has a new injury that he's picked up, so he's trying to work his way back after playing a little bit with TFC too. We're not Clément. Yeah, we need you to get back on the field. We kind of like you, man. Columbus questionable for them. Connor Casey, Federico Higuain made his first appearance last week, coming off the bench since June 1st. And our guest Alex Steck will get us more up to date on what's going on with the highest goal scorer against TFC from the Columbus Crew. So down at the Kia training grounds, we did get to talk to some of the guys, and Jay Chapman reflected on his second time in the Chipotle homegrown game with the MLS squad losing 2-0 to the Mexico U-20s.
You get some of the best young players in the league together and get to go out and enjoy an occasion like an all-star event. It's going to be a lot of fun. So, you know, being coached by Landon Donovan, this is my second year, and he's a really good guy, and he's very stress-free when he's coaching. You know, it's an event just to have some fun at and play some minutes. So it was really good to get to know the guys and some of the staff around the leagues. So it was good.
It was good. Jordan Hamilton apparently loved it. He kind of told us at training, and I don't know if Jay Hams is listening to this. I hope he doesn't get mad that I'm spilling the beans here. I don't think he will, but Chipotle homegrown game. It's called Chipotle because of the wonderful burrito place. You know, that charges like $20 here in Canada for a burrito and a drink. It's kind of ridiculous, but it's much cheaper south of the border. And for Jordan Hamilton and Jay Chapman this week, it was absolutely free. That can be dangerous for a professional athlete. So Jordan was kind of joking about it, saying that he maybe gained a couple on his homegrown trip. Don't know if that's true. He looked good in training. But also, apparently Jay Chapman has an incredible Chipotle recipe. So we're going to have to venture to get him on the show and talk about it. Learned it in his college days, is what I hear. Meantime, we also spoke to a vet, that being Drew Moore, and the Crew's recent struggles and what it says to him when a team can't seem to hold down a lead.
Yeah, I don't think they're playing with a lot of confidence right now, which is very different from what we saw from them last season when they went on their, you know, all the way to the MLS Cup final. But, you know, that doesn't change how we're going to play our preparation. They're still a very dangerous team. They've proven they can still score goals. They're always in games. You know, if they would have lost a couple of those games, I think it would have been a different story, but it's not going to change our preparation. We still have to go and take the game to them, much like we did against DC. Take our chances when we get them, and keep things organized in the back, because you know they're still very dangerous.
They are very dangerous, and TFC. The game in Columbus was a weird one. The heat was certainly a factor, more so for the traveling team in the first half than it was for the home side. TFC only had 5 guys on the bench for that game. it kind of felt like it was one of those, you know, we're kind of stuck here a little bit. Let's do what we can and see what we can get out of it. But they ended up getting a point, just kind of showing how strong that team was that day. To not strong in a sense that they played really well, but the sense of fight that they had in them. And of course, there was no Sebastian Giovinco that game in Columbus, so that's a big part of it as well. He was rested, as they say, and he didn't even travel, which was kind of weird, very strange. It was the same night as the ESPYs, but we were told he was not at the ESPYs, of course. That would just be dumb if he was at the ESPYs. Probably at Cabana or something like that. Maybe. We asked a similar question to Coach Vanny and where Columbus is at right now, and he's been pretty adamant that he thinks this Crew team is a lot better than they've shown so far this year.
I still stand by, I think they're a very good team who was very dangerous attacking-wise. I think they have... and I said this to their coach at the last game, I think that they've just failed to execute in some key moments over the course of the year that have not allowed them to pick up important points. But I also think in the push to try to get some of those goals or to try to do it, I think they expose themselves defensively sometimes. And that's part of what you do when you open up so much in possession and you have so many guys high in the attacking area, attacking end of the field, and guys ahead of the ball, that if transition happens in not so good areas for them, they become extremely exposed. And so I think at times, and that's how we got them. We got them in a transition where, you know, we had a nice little three-player move there and found Jordan pulling off of a center back, but it was in open space off of a transition. We were able to get it. So, you know, again, no matter what style you play, you're always susceptible to a little bit of something. For them, because they're, I think because they're such a good attacking team and a possession-oriented team, that sometimes in transitions they can really get spread out and get opened up. And so sometimes it's hard to lead if you're not super – to hold on to leads, if you're not super diligent and careful with the ball and you're opened up, then you can give away leads quickly, yeah. So we'll see how this plays out in the end. It's going to be two good teams with – and I think, like always, it'll be a pretty tactical game.
Yeah, it will be a pretty tactical game. It was the first time around in the series of the Trillium Cup, the 0-0 draw that TFC had with the Columbus Crew. Lots of chances on both ends, though, in that game, but also some large periods where it was a bit of a snoozer, to be fair. But apparently, one of the Columbus players is trying to drive up the rivalry a little bit. That being Mohamed Syed, and saw some of the quotes from him at Columbus training, apparently, and was alerted to this by the Toronto Sun's Kurt Larson. And basically saying, and I also couldn't figure out why the Columbus Crew didn't have this video of Mohamed Syed up on their website. So that is kind of strange for me. Also, this just coming out a couple of minutes ago, Greg Vanney saying that Jozy Altidore likely to earn a start over the course of the next three games. A full 90 minutes, though, might take some more time as TFC continues to work back Jozy into the starting 11. That coming from the KTG today, is TFC having a rare Saturday training session with the Sunday night game. Now, Mohamed Syed, what are you saying? This is the same TFC team that just got a 1-1 draw with five players on their bench and basically a team of under 25-year-olds and Benoit Cheru. And they got a draw in your home barn because you guys can't hold a lead to save your own life. Columbus Crew should be focusing more on what they need to do to climb out of the basement in the Eastern Conference rather than saying, well, Toronto FC is only Sebastian Giovinco. Well, of course, he's the best player in the league. What do you want them to do? When he hasn't played this season, you know what their record is? Do you know? Do you? It's one win, one draw, and two draws. Right? Unless I'm missing a game. They had the win over Montreal in the Canadian Championship where they won 4-2 against Didier Drogba and friends. Then they got the 0-0 draw in the second leg of the Canadian Championship against Montreal. And then they got the draw in your home barn. So that's not a bad record with the guy that apparently they can't do anything without. I understand people's idea that this team is only Sebastian Giovinco. But you also have to realize when you have Sebastian Giovinco in your team, you focus your offense on him because he is the most talented player in your attack. Not only Seba scores. We know he just went through the big goal drought before the hat trick. Justin Morrow had three. And he now leads all defenders in goals with Chad Marshall, tied for three in MLS. Jordan Hamilton had three goals. So, yeah, like Greg Vanney said to Siggy a couple of weeks ago, Siggy Schmidt, who's now fired, by the way, focus on your own team, Mo, or you'll lose your job. Vanney didn't say that, but he said focus on your own team. I shouldn't put words in Greg's mouth. That was totally me. Let's get off this subject now, as we are, we still got two interviews to get to, guys. This might be a bit of a long version of the match preview today. It is the Trillium Cup, so it's a big deal. It's a big, big deal. We traveled to Columbus for the second leg of this. And by the way, I don't know if we mentioned this when we did the show after Columbus. We didn't, because we only did a match preview. It was a midweek game. But, and I haven't been to every MLS stadium yet. That was the worst press box I've ever experienced in my life. It was like a dungeon. Corner of the stadium, they like hide you in the corner there, and it's like this small dungeon-y type room. Very odd. Very, very odd. Maybe they should fix that at Matt Frey Stadium. Anyways, now let's move on. Dan Riccio, TFC Pitch Side Match Preview. And let's get to a little bit more with the Columbus Crew as Alex Steck is joining us. She covers the Columbus Crew. And we want to know, Alex, what can we know about this new member of the Crew? Adam John, acquired today, actually, from San Jose in exchange for targeted allocation money. How does he fit into this Crew side?
Adam is a very physical presence. He's a big, strong guy. He's about 6'3", over 200 pounds. He's young, and I think Greg kind of expects him to come on as a late addition, you know, in the game if maybe Ola needs a sub or somebody who can come in and just make a physical presence on the game. He's a great player in the box, so hopefully we'll get to see some minutes out of him really quickly, actually.
Is he just more of a depth guy for Ola Camara right now, who's having obviously an incredible season?
Yes, that's what I would say. We've had Connor Casey on the roster, but obviously he's had some injury issues lately, so hasn't really been dressing or playing much. So this way it gives Ola a little bit of breathing room. Hopefully he can sub in for him late in the game.
Now, like, you realize Connor Casey is, like, the worst name to mention to TFC fans because, like, they could not be happier that he is out with an injury. I know this from speaking to a lot of Reds fans. I mean, he's just killed them for years.
He is a great player. I mean, when he gets a hold of the ball in the box, you got to watch out. He's been a great asset. I wish we could have seen him play more so far this season. I know he's definitely disappointed, but yeah, what a career he's had.
Yeah, it's been interesting. He wishes he could play TFC every game. He'd probably be a designated player if he had that kind of luck against other teams. Anyways, let's move on here. Fans are going to turn this off if they keep hearing Connor Casey. But the Crew, they haven't had a win in their last eight matches. It's been a bit of a struggle. How close is this team? Like, they keep getting early leads and then they keep coughing them up. Mm-hmm. Is it a confidence thing? What's going on with Berhalter's side right now?
I think confidence is definitely something you can attribute it to. I mean, you've watched the way they play. They're possessing the ball. They're creating chances. And it's just that final touch, or even if they do get a couple goals, if they concede one, it seems like they lose that confidence. So it's just putting together a full 90 minutes, having these guys believe in themselves. And then you look at some of the results, it's like the last few minutes or something, something happens, something goes wrong. So I know that Greg's been raising the intensity throughout the week for training, and he's trying to get this mentality of the guys to change, that it has to be, you know, we expect to win. And doing so, you know, the wins aren't just going to come. You kind of have to earn them, and starts on the training field. So I think it is that confidence. And when they can see the goal, if that happens, I think they just need to shake it off, say, hey, let's stick to the game plan, stay focused on the task at hand, and not question what they're doing. Just stick to it. And, I mean, this is the time to push in the season.
Has Greg actually said anything about not being able to hang on to these leads lately? I'm looking at the record here. 2-2-6 when scoring the first goal. Toronto's 7-0-1. I mean, you chalk that up. That's the difference between the two teams in the standings right now.
Right. And I think it is just a couple of lapses. It's a mental lapse for a minute or two, and, you know, they end up paying for it. So it's just keeping that focus throughout the game, and then every guy that comes on the field, no matter how long they're playing, make a difference, you know, have that impact on the game. But I think it is just little lapses of concentration, or if it's a quick 1v1 defending moment where there's an error or a turnover, a lot of counterattacking errors. So I think it is just that, you know, staying focused for 90 minutes. It's tough to do that, you know, have the energy, have the momentum the whole time, but keep up that possession. And then if they do turn over the ball, winning it back as quickly as possible.
Alex Steck, our guest here on TFC Pitch Diner Match Preview. Federico Higuain, another name TFC fans don't like to hear. He made his first appearance last week since June 1st. Team went winless without him during his time through injury. I have to think that's not a coincidence. How happy is Berhalter to have him back?
I think that's fair to say. He is very pleased to have him back. Yeah, I mean, fortunately, there was only one loss, you know, five draws. Still got some points in there, but the guy comes on, plays not even 20 minutes, and makes such a noticeable impact on the game. You know, fires a few shots on goal, setting up a couple opportunities. And there were even a couple times where he's in the six-yard box laying it off to his teammates. So I know he's happy to be out there, and it's a noticeable impact when he returns to the field.
Do you think he'll start this week?
I'm not sure if he'll start. Honestly, you know, it's tough to say if he's ready to go for a full 90 minutes. And that was his first appearance, and like I said, I mean, not even 20 minutes, but I don't know. We could see him. I'm not ruling it out, but we'd love to have him out there, obviously.
The back line for the Crew has kind of been rotating the last couple of seasons, but the one staple has been Steve Clark. How important is he to this Columbus Crew side?
Well, Steve's incredible. And it's not only the saves he makes, but it's the energy he brings to this team. If you ever watch him interact with the guys, especially the defense, the amount that he communicates and is just constantly trying to boost everyone on the team, you know that's infectious. And he's got to be the guy in the locker room that's firing everyone up. He takes things personally. You know, he wants to be the best for this club. He wants each guy to be able to look at themselves in the mirror and say, hey, I just gave it my all. And that's what he does for his teammates each game. And, I mean, there's a reason he's saved so many shots. He's close to 300 career, you know, in 3 years. So in the 3 years here, he's been a staple to the back line for sure.
Now, last one for you, Alex. And everybody asks when opposing teams come to Toronto, what do you got drawn up to stop Sebastian Giovinco? So I'm going to ask you on the flip side, how much or what does TFC have to do to stop Ola Camara from scoring this weekend?
Ola's a tough guy to mark, and I think it's because his movement is so dynamic. He's great at getting in behind line. He's tough to keep track of, and even if he's not getting the ball, you know, his movement is creating space for other players to run into. So he's tough to keep track of, and he's efficient, too. He doesn't just shoot the ball just to shoot it. I mean, there's a reason he scored 10 goals, and it's ongoing. Like, he'll just put it in the back of the net. You're surprised. It's a tough angle, but he doesn't take his chances for granted. And I think just keeping an eye on him and watching his movements is the best way you can defend him. But it's not an easy task.
Follow her on Twitter at Alex_Steck. That is STEC with another underscore. Thanks so much for doing this, Alex. Really appreciate it.
Thanks, Dan. Appreciate it. Good luck this weekend.
Thanks very much to Alex and Ola Camara. Yeah, he is the guy you need to stop this year. Last year was Kai Camara. Now it's Ola Camara from Norway. Marky Delgado, not from Norway. Scored his second goal of the season last weekend against DC. His first coming in TFC's first game of the season against the Red Bull. Our producer, Emil Delic, caught up with Marky at training this week to ask him about his second season with the club, his goals on the pitch, and becoming the guy players feel most comfortable yelling at on the pitch as well.
All right, Marky, second goal this season. Scored 3 last year. I remember you saying at the end of last year, there is no goals set for how many you want to notch, but now you got 2. Do you think you can pass your 4 mark?
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I believe I can. If the chances come, I continue coming my way, and I can put them in the back of the net. I believe I can pass, maybe get to even 5 or 6. But we'll see.
It seems like a lot of your chances come off little rebounds here and there, and you're always there to put it away. Who makes your life easier when it comes to those types of goals?
It's just seeing and reading the play as it's coming, you know. Seba made the run in the last game, a great run in the last game, and I, you know, knowing Seba, he can either go on the net majority of the time, or he can come off the post because he's usually always on target. So, you know, it's always reading the play and, you know, just following up, reacting first and being there first.
I want to ask you about some of like the on-field things that go on. It seems like you're kind of like the guy that they're always picking on the pitch. When something goes wrong, they're always giving it to Marky. But after the game, Seba embraced you after that goal. How good did it feel to have him be like the guy who's always kind of bitching at you, kind of come to you and be like, hey, man, great job.
It's whatever. I mean,
you're the young guy.
I'm the young guy, so I'm just used to it. I mean, that's how it's been throughout my career now. I mean, 5 years in the league now, I'm always being, you know, screamed at, told something. So, you know, it's nothing new. People out from outside the field might say something else, but, you know, I'm used to it. So, you know, it's all a learning lesson. So it's all, might seem negative, but it's all in a positive way at the end of the day.
A lot of players react differently to that kind of stuff. Do you think that just makes you better as a player? You've kind of gotten used to that way of growing as a player?
Yeah. I mean, a lot of players might take it in a negative way, but, you know, the best thing to do is to not let that get to you and affect you on the field. So you got to, you know, really take consideration of it and really look at the positive side of what he's trying to get across to you or whoever it may be that's screaming at you. And, you know, you just got to look at the positive side of it and, you know, improve in it. Improve from that and, you know, just do it better than the next play.
I remember last year when you came to Toronto, you weren't really that well prepared. What did you say? You brought over like a pullover or something? Like it was a pretty, not even like a jacket. You didn't bring over like a full coat. Coming back to Toronto, how much more prepared were you the second time around, coming in from California to Toronto?
Yeah, I was a lot more prepared. Last year I came in with just a thermal and like a pullover jacket, which was like super thin. So when I got here, I was freezing, you know. I wasn't so prepared, but this time of year I was, you know, coming from LA, it was super hot over there, but I was just like, you know what, I'm just gonna take I came like sweats, like 3 shirts, and I mean, I was sweating on the way to the airport, but once I got here I was all good.
So. Last question, probably tough to compare, but it just seems like coming out to training once a week, twice a week for the media wise. It seems like it's a lot hotter this summer than it was last summer. Do you have any sort of comparison on just the training conditions from last summer compared to this summer?
Yeah, it seems like last summer it was hot, but it wasn't this hot. It was like a perfect warm weather, and this time of year it feels like LA kind of, where it's just like hot and humid, and it's just like it just really gets to you mentally and it just drains you out on the field. But you know, you just got to play through it.
Yeah, and Marky. This kind of feels like L.A. weather a little bit, the way it's been the last little while here in Toronto. I mean, and you look at your, I don't know, your smartphone. I look at my iPhone and I look at the weather app, and Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, just straight sun. No clouds, straight sun, 30 plus. I love it, but like if you're playing soccer in that weather, it's kind of brutal. Like I've brought it up a couple of times. I will not forget the face on some of those guys after the Columbus game, after they dug from whatever bowels that they had to just do whatever they could to get a point in that game. It was hot there, and like producer Bozy, we drove straight home after the game from Columbus to Toronto. We got back like 7 a.m. But producer Bozy stunk, and he was on the field, so he was just dripping sweat, and my car still smells. Just just a side note, but that's, you know, the Heat here this summer, in all seriousness, has gotten to another level. I think we've had 60% less rain. You can feel the humidity. Yesterday was still hot. Today, finally, Saturday, we got a little bit of rain this morning. We felt that humidity kind of dissipate a little bit, and maybe that'll make for good conditions in Sunday night's game, which it should. It's not going to be too, too warm on Sunday night down by the lake. TFC Columbus Trillium Cup finale, as we are giving you our TFC pitch side match preview. I'm Dan Riccio, and did you know, a couple of tidbits here, TFC have only won the Trillium Cup twice. Of course, if you've listened to this match preview for a while now, the first time we did the match preview, we talked a lot about how Jermaine Defoe, his only cup with TFC, along with Gilberto, by the way, their only cup is the Trillium Cup, to speak of, in 2014. Greg Vanney, though, he has not yet got a win against Columbus as TFC's bench boss, so he'd like that to change this week. Federico Higuain mentioned it earlier, 7 goals against TFC. That is the Crew's all-time leading scorer in the series. And that leads us to
Major Key Alert.
Producer Bozy just telling me DJ Khaled actually has a new album out. Not that, you know, he's paying us for advertisement or anything, but, I mean, we do use his song in all of these previews, so. Oh, yeah, we just use his voice, yeah. I don't know where the beat comes from. It's Cardinal? Okay. Way to ruin a good Cardinal beat, then. By putting DJ Khaled on it? I didn't even know that.
This is a big LB. Just don't talk to me in the comments.
All right, I'm pissing off our music extraordinaire, Mr. Emil Delic. 3 keys. First up, get the first goal. You've heard this before. TFC so much better when they get that first goal. A 7-0-1 record when scoring first. A perfect 5-0 when leading at halftime. Mentioned it last week, and you saw it right away. When Sebastian Giovinco scored, you could almost like feel it, physically feel the weight just being lifted off his shoulders. All of a sudden, he's getting his teammates more involved, and he's not yelling at referees anymore. He's not yelling at Marky Delgado anymore. He was actually congratulating him for scoring a goal. So all these different types of things go into that. Now TFC can build off that performance against a horrible DC side and take on a struggling Columbus team who's just, I can't really find it right now. And I agree with Greg Vanney. This team, in the games that we've seen Columbus this year, they don't look nearly as bad as DC United has or as Chicago has. So this is going to be a more difficult game, but 3 points should be had here against a team that's really fighting it right now. Number 2, start Ricketts or Altidore. Mentioned it earlier on the show, Vanney saying that Altidore is probably going to get back into a starting role over the next week or so. There's 3 games in 6 days, so that makes a lot of sense. Jordan Hamilton, he had the busy week with the extra flight and minutes to San Jose for the homegrown game. So I think with the way that Ricketts debuted last week, very impressive. His pace is noticeable right away, makes a lot of intelligent runs. He's got to finish his chances. He admitted as much on Monday right here on TFC pitch side. But especially with the way Columbus can get caught in transition, this could make for an interesting spot to use Ricketts in his first start. TFC, by the way, they do lead the league in counterattacking goals with 3. Limit your turnovers. That's the final key of the game. TFC, they may have a potential big problem with Benoit Cheyrou being a game-time decision. We know how important he's been, especially since Bradley and Johnson went out. His range of passing, his ability to make the right decision, to get away from opposing tackles. There's just so much about Benoit Cheyrou that makes him such an incredible midfield player in the role that he's playing in right now for TFC. If he sits, which, you know, he really might given the busy week, he's going to sit one of these 3 games. He's not going to play start all 3 of them. TFC's youngsters, they'll have to be very tidy in possession and limit the chances created from turnovers. Don't be heroes. Just make the right pass. And when in doubt, hit it out. We all heard that when we were 4 years old and have lived by that ever since. It's Carabana weekend, Drake in town Sunday night, and Jay's in the afternoon. It will be extremely busy downtown. Plan on your route early. Try not to get stuck in traffic. Get into the stadium for 7:30. You know, it doesn't always start at 7:30. We know that, but it usually starts around 7:40 or, depending on how long the pregame is, 7:55. We know, and there's been a couple of occasions of that. But we'll be down there. We know you will be, too. We leave you with some popcorn. Popcorn.
Popcorn.
You know, back when I was in acting school, when I was at, I was in the Humber Theater program. We actually had a African dance class. No joke. Like, could you imagine me in an African dance class? Awkward. But our teacher, who was an awesome guy and a lot of fun, he would bring along a drummer with him, a guy that had a bongo drum or whatever you call it. And anytime we were like, he would teach us the move or whatever, and he'd be ready to do the song. He'd say, the guy's name was Popcorn, actually. So he would say, "Popcorn, play the music!" And we would start dancing. I can't even do it. Yeah, I'm not even going to try. That was lame. I'm Dan Riccio. Still very lame. He is producer Emil Delich. Thanks to you for listening. Trillium Cup, will it be Toronto FC's this year? We'll find out Sunday night, 7:30 at BMO Field. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Monday.
Good times, it's gonna be some good times. Man, we used to pull up and let them fight at that hood time. Remember, I used to grab on that.